The following may contain NSFW content and is intended for mature audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
If you dig the show, please subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Subscribe and leave reviews on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. And please consider supporting the show at patreon.com/JonesandMike.
This is Dudes and Cars.
I'm considering never getting involved ever again, Jones.
Getting involved in, I need some more specifics, just even one specific.
In helping people. I saw an accident over the weekend, and I got involved, and I immediately regretted it. Okay. Meanwhile, I've dreamed, I think I've told you this, I've dreamed of, like, in superhero fashion, like, stopping a shooter or foiling a terrorist attack or some other events. Like, I've always dreamed of getting involved, but I don't know now. I don't know if I'll do it ever again, honestly.
Okay, well, do you have to tell me what happened? Was there something that happened? What is the incident? What did you do?
Yeah, so I'm going to get my daughter from some, like, Halloween, like, fall dance or something. It was Halloween themed, actually, yeah. It's like a mile and a quarter away from my house. I leave my house right after dinner. Just, you know, 5 minute round trip to get her, no big deal. I'm sitting at a light outside my subdivision and light turns green. I'm the only one, you know, on that side of the street. There's no one in front of me. So I look left, look right, and I see an SUV barreling through, and I know this person ain't gonna stop. Ooh. And so I lay on my horn to try to snap them out of it. And right. Bam! They T-boned a minivan that was going the opposite direction from me. So they apparently don't look when they go out in the intersection. And so I, like, navigate around the carnage, pull the car over. I have the phone, you know, nearby, as most Americans have. And so I'm you know, dialing 911, and I'm walking toward, you know, the wreckage, and this car, like, was going about 40-ish and hit the driver's side dead on.
Oh.
So I'm like, there's somebody dead in there, right? I hear, oh, like, somebody yeah. screaming inside the minivan, and you know me, man. I'm like, oh, no. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Blood.
Why?
Right.
Why me? Like, I, you know, oh, God, no, please don't be any blood. If you're dead, just be dead.
Right.
But no blood and dead.
Right.
And so, you know, 911 picks up. I dutifully give them the intersection. And, of course, they're like, all right, we'll transfer you over to that town. And I'm like, what? What is this? What do you mean you're transferring me? So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, fine. And so, meanwhile, I'm starting to communicate with the people inside the minivan. Meanwhile, so, like, and I do this calculus right away, too, dude. I purposefully go over to the minivan, but throughout this whole thing, I don't go over to the car that hit them. Because, honestly, I was kind of like, fuck you, you were wrong. So, I'm not going to, I'm helping you fucking last. And so, that's weird.
Right.
Maybe I'm just not cut out for this helping thing. I'm triaging who lives and who dies.
Okay, so, but that's why you went, well, it's understandable you would go to the quote-unquote victims first, like the real initial victims, the people that were hit. But, like, once that settled down, you still didn't go over to the other car?
I eventually did walk around, but so, you know, but They were definitely last on my list. So, you know, I start to communicate with them. The driver, the woman, the mom, it was a mom and two kids. And so she had come out the passenger side. She looks at me with these sad eyes. And she's like, why do they not stop?
Yeah, yeah.
I think she was fairly new to our country. And that's fabulous. Welcome to America.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, lady. So, you know, I start talking to the new dispatcher that had connected with me. And this dude starts grilling me for information. And as I'm not providing him information that is, I guess, you know, acceptable to him, he's getting testy with me. Now that, no, you can't guess if the victims are okay. I need to know. Do they require assistance? He starts fucking like yelling at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, dude, listen. No, I don't know if they need assistance. Send an ambulance.
Yeah, just get someone there regardless.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a fairly bad crash. And I started off the call saying this is a fairly bad crash. So I started giving it back to him. And I'm like, I'm standing in traffic, by the way. Cars are fucking going around me. I'm trying to slow them down. And you're giving me a hard time? I started off this call saying fairly bad accident. So send an ambulance. What is there an ambulance shortage here? This isn't like some, you know, this isn't Chirac. This is like Stepford where I live.
Right. Well, and the other thing too is it's like, other than like, why would you want someone? It's not your point to be assessing it anyway. His point, it's just to, hey, stay with them. Where are you located, and get like the real professionals there.
Well, right, yeah. In hindsight,
like,
I'm thinking,
like, how are you
like,
going to know they're okay?
Yeah. I'm thinking he should have probably prefaced it with, now I may need to walk you through some steps on how you can help these people. So I need some information. So
yes.
So you know, he could have just done a better job, right? And so I'm trying to actually come back around and give him the benefit of the doubt. But on the other hand, it's like, you're the 911 dispatcher. I got to give you a benefit of the doubt. Like, this is all you do.
Right,
is routing this kind of shit and talking people like me. Like, imagine if I was hysterical. Like, I wasn't even hysterical. I'm actually, like, walking into traffic trying to give you the best information I can, and you're fucking busting my balls. So, at any rate, he's busting my balls. The lady, the kids in the car are fucking, like, screaming, but nobody's really all that hurt, right? But they're really shaken up or whatever. I do walk around. I see that the other driver is an elderly woman. She's mobile at that point. So I'm like, okay, cool. But then I'm like, oh, 75-year-old lady, what were you doing? But I'm not talking to her. I'm still talking to the dispatcher. He's kind of busting my balls. And I'm like, you know, finally, I realize, as he's giving me a hard time, I realize I don't have my wallet on me.
Okay.
And I go, oh, shit. And my mind starts to race. I had a couple of beers at dinner.
Oh, no.
I don't have my wallet on me. This dispatcher's giving me a hard time. If he's giving me a hard time, in a second, the cops are going to be on the scene. They're definitely going to be giving me a hard time if this guy's giving me a hard time. And so I start going, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Right. So how do you get out of there now?
Well, right. So I start rapid fire giving this guy the information. I turn to the lady and I'm like, help's on the way. I'm on with 911 right now. Help is on the way. I gotta go.
But sir,
I know.
Hold my daughter's hand. Her father died a week ago and she needs a male figure. No, I gotta go. I got seconds.
Yeah, I know. So I look down the street. I don't see any flashing lights. Meanwhile, there's a couple of minutes on now. And there's a firehouse, like, right down the street. So I'm like, where the hell are they? Oh, well, guess they're out on a call, and a firehouse is sending from further away or whatever. Meanwhile, I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I'm rapid fire giving this guy the information. He's asking my name, my phone number, all this shit. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give you this while I'm driving away, dude. And so I finally am able to get off the call with him, but I'm like, I got to get out of here. So there's a woman who's now waiting at the light, and, like, you know, traffic is not really moving in some directions. In some directions it was, in some directions it wasn't. I walked by her. She's like, excuse me, is there someone in that car up there? And I'm like, I just got to get out of here. So I look at her, and I'm like, it's taken care of.
Yeah.
And I go to get in the car. She's like, no, wait, excuse me. Is there someone in that car up there? And I look at her and I'm like, lady, it's taken care of.
Bunker?
I know. It was the perfectly annoying voice.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of what was now becoming my crisis. So I get in the car and I speed away. And I'm half expecting to see Mars lights in my rear view tracking me down because I left the scene of an accident. Like, I start panicking.
Right.
I'm like, this is how I get my DUI. Or, so, you know, I had two beers, like, starting an hour and a half before that. So I was probably fine. But meanwhile, I'm like, and so am I admitting to a DUI here? And I hope not. No, but you have something to drink. You don't have your wallet on you, you realize. Or it could have been in the car. Where was my wallet?
Yeah.
I usually keep it in the center console.
That's not the question I asked. I asked, where was it?
Where was my wallet? Is at home.
See, I'd be a good 911 dispatcher.
Yeah, if you want a second career, you'd be pretty good at it. So I pick up my daughter. She's, you know, like waiting out front of her school, but I'm, you know, the least of my worries. I grab her. I'm still kind of like, now I'm kind of upset, right? And so I get her home or whatever, and then the phone rings, and it's the police.
Are you upset like a man, or are you upset?
Well, I'm kind of upset, like, wow, close one. If you would have hung around a few more minutes and the cops showed up.
It would have been curtains for old noons.
Yeah, totally, totally. So, you know, I leave in bracelets after stopping to help people in an accident. So the cops call as soon as I get home. And I'm like, oh, my God, are you calling me back to the scene? What is this? And so the guy leaves a message because it was an unknown caller, too. They call from, like, you know, an unmarked call, right? So
They call from the burner phones that they take off the drug dealers.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I ain't picking that up. So leaves a message. I listen to it. He doesn't sound happy. I call back the number that he left, and a woman answers. She says 911, and I'm like, 911. I'm looking for Officer Lang. It's like, did he give you this number to call? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, hold on. So I'm like, okay, what is this? So she picks up. She's like, okay, Officer Lang's in the field. He's going to go to a phone and he's going to call you back. It's going to be an unmarked number. So pick it up.
Answer the fucking phone.
I know. And I'm thinking, like, why are you busting my balls? And so by now I'm having a fucking glass of whiskey in my kitchen because I'm like, I ain't fucking going anywhere. And I'm fucking having a drink like a man. None of this, like, you know, little beer on my breath stuff. I'm having a whiskey.
Right.
So Officer Lang finally calls. I pick up, and he's anguished. He needs to know the details of the accident. And I'm like, sure, I reckon that's reasonable. But he's just in a mood. And so I give him my account. And I'm not even, like, you know, mamby-pamby, normal, like, you know, head-up-their-ass American citizen. I'm giving them eastbound lane, westbound lane. Southbound. I'm giving them, like, this is what you're going to need.
Funny enough, that's probably your mistake.
Totally, because he fucking botched it all up, right? So he, after 5 or 10 minutes on the phone, and him, he asked me some questions. Oh, by the way, you'll love this. He asked me some questions. At the end, he starts asking me my date of birth, and I'm like, why do you need my date of birth? And he answers, it's a standard question. And I'm like, that doesn't really tell me anything, officer.
A
standard question? I'm like, so, well, why do you think? I just guess. Why would you need my date of birth? And so then he gives me the real answer, which is, well, if you get subpoenaed and this goes to court, we're going to have to subpoena you as a witness, and we need to make sure we get the right guy. And I'm like, okay, that's a way better answer than the first answer. So I'm like, why are you being a fucking asshole? So, meanwhile, so he's probably thinking,
which,
like,
why are... Which is weird, because isn't that should just be your right to know.
No!
Here, I have a question. Why do you need to know this? I'll tell you exactly why. Because you might get subpoenaed.
Exactly.
And you could actually even be a hard ass about that answer and still be giving the answer.
Totally, dude. And so, you know, I give him my date of birth, and then he asked for one more piece of information, and I said, why do I have to give that? Is that for the subpoena thing too? So now he's, like, really exasperated with me, and so I give it to him and I get off the phone. And so then I'm enjoying my whiskey, and about an hour passes. Guy calls back, and he's like, you know, we're getting conflicting statements. I'm gonna have to go over your statement again.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, why is this my problem?
You know, right, right.
And so, you know, people are like, you know, so basically I'm being called into question, like, you know, or my account is being called into question. And I'm like, yeah, well, look, man, here's the deal. And this was a very important detail.
I've been drinking.
Yeah, right.
I've been drinking.
And, you know, and I didn't have
happened.
My license. I was looking for my license at the time. Turns out I wasn't in the car.
If I wasn't so disoriented and panicked, I probably would have stuck around and got better information. But I just hopped in the car right away. In fact, I drove a good two blocks, didn't even realize I still had my door open.
I know, dude, I'm thinking, like, he doesn't believe my story because I'm the only one who left.
Yeah.
And he thinks something's up. And you know what? You were right, officer. Something was up. Yeah. So I give him the information again. I'm like, look, here's the deal, man. The light was definitely green. It was definitely a red light that was run because I laid on my horn. I wouldn't lay on my horn if I still had a red light. Like, I'm not a maniac.
Yeah.
I'm drunk and I'm driving, but I'm not a maniac. So whatever. We spent another 10 minutes on the phone, and that was the end of it. No more weird questions. No more standard operating procedure questions. None of that. But at the end of it, you know, it was probably like 11 or so at night by then, by the time I got off that second call. And I'm like, you know what? This is why motherfuckers just drive around accidents. This is why people don't get involved. Because from Jump Street, I got treated like I did something wrong by everybody involved. I mean, even the victim was kind of like, why? Why did he not stop? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to help you. I don't expect you to show gratitude at this moment. But you're kind of, I'm the first person you see. It reminds, like, one time I was at a funeral. After the funeral, I was at, like, they didn't have a funeral luncheon. They had, like, a party. They had a tent in their backyard and a reception at the house.
Right.
And it fucking poured. And, like, the mother of the deceased came out for whatever reason to try to go out to the tent. And, like, there was a little bit of a slope and she fucking spilled into like mud in this pouring rainstorm. And so I ran out of the tent to grab her, and I was the first one on the scene, and I stuck my hand down to help her up, and she looked up at me as if I tripped her.
Oh no, yeah.
And she refused my hand and then, like, you know, got up by some other method and went into the house all soaked and muddy, having buried her loved one that day. And like, I think she blamed me somehow because I was the first one on the scene. So same deal here. First one on the scene gets the shit, right? So I think I have to give up my dream of saving the day because I think from now on I'm averting my gaze and I'm walking away. My resolve to get involved has evolved and I'm absolving myself of my desire to get involved, Jones.
That was pretty good. I was, as you started this, as you did the first two little rhymes, I knew my gut was from knowing you for so long. I'm like, he's going to try to keep this going. And I was like, when will he get stuck? And you didn't. So congratulations on that.
I couldn't haikuify it on the fly, but.
No, it's still good. It's still good. You know,
so am
so
I a
funny.
Horrible person for feeling put upon? Or should I have been like, no, dutiful citizen, this is what you do, and sometimes there's a price to pay for helping.
Well, I mean, I get where... I mean, clearly the alcohol made you jumpy. Whether you were really drinking and driving or not, it was on your brain. So that was an issue. I would think this situation would have been a whole lot different had you just not been drinking, because you wouldn't have thought... big picture, like, oh, wait a minute, is there any chance this could break bad my way? And, you know, I look, we've got a mutual bud from high school when he wore a much younger man's clothes, underage, was at a stoplight, minding his own damn business, not drunk, but gets rear-ended, but because he's not of legal drinking age, he stayed there to help the old lady and got a DUI. So
He was going through my mind. Like, that's the shittiest DUI I've ever heard.
Yeah. So it's, and he was, and he took the test, and he blew under the limit, but because he was 20, he was over the limit no matter what. So those things kind of
play
in your mind.
Dude, the cop that did that is really a fucking scoundrel.
Yeah, it's disappointing for sure, for sure.
But he didn't do any, you know, I understand that by the letter of the law he was wrong, but he just was sitting at a red light.
He got rear-ended.
Exactly.
By an elderly driver.
Yes. Well, how? Now, at that point, he's got to stay, or else that is definitely breaking the law. But, like, you know, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, no, so, that was going through my mind. I'm like, no, I'm the schmuck that happens to.
No, no, no. So that totally plays a role. Now, in terms of, and I'm driving through Ridleyville right now, man. It is amazing. Once you get beyond October, the neighborhood is just dead. Anyway, now, I'm trying to think, like, so I think alcohol played a role. It made you a little jumpy. I think if you weren't drinking at all, you probably would have almost maybe even enjoyed the flotsam and jetsam and the energy of it.
No, but, no.
Well, not enjoyed the accident, but been like the buzz of it.
I panicked. You know, as soon as I saw it, I went, somebody died in there, and I start going, oh, no.
I
was under duress immediately.
Yeah, maybe I just react differently to that. I can think of three different times that were similar to that. Once, when I was working for the North Loop News, selling ad space, and I was driving across town, and the same thing that you had. There was this driver going through a green light, and then a dude just blasted through a red light and T-boned him. And the guy that he T-boned was like this 85-year-old man, like when they're like Elmer Fudd looking. And he got hit, and he slumped like out cold over the steering wheel. And I'm car in the lane. And he slumped over the steering wheel going right for my car. And he hit my car. And I just sat there and I just braced for it because I'm like, dead dudes don't hit brakes. This is nothing stopping them. And I couldn't get out of the way. I'm not going to drive into a lane that's like open for, you know, business.
Yeah.
And I just remember that the old guy ended up, he was like 85 years old. It wasn't his fault. Young guys hit him. And they tried to blame it on the old guy. And I stuck around. I was like, no. The old dude was going through a green light. Everything was
the
good.
The old dead dude didn't do anything.
Well, they revived him, and he was, like, walking around. I couldn't believe it. I thought for sure, when I saw him slumped over the wheel, I'm like, this guy's dead. But he ended up being all right. I just remember no rigmarole with the cops. I was the main witness. They were cool. I never got subpoenaed. I'm trying to think there was another time. I'm just trying to think in terms of when I was interacting. There was another time after playing hockey. I was having a few beers. I was drinking, but I wasn't driving. And we were right off of I-55. And there was this minivan going down the road. And all of a sudden, we hear like this, boom, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And it sounded like, you know, when a semi hits the jig brakes and it shakes it. If it has an empty cargo, the whole thing just goes, bah, 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 and it all makes all that rattling noise. That's what I thought it was, but it was a little louder than that. We spun around. It's this minivan tumbling through the air.
Whoa.
All the dudes I'm drinking with are like, oh, my God. We all start running at the car. The car, the minivan. The minivan's tumbling while we're even running for it.
Wow. And then this long thing. You guys are fast.
We were right in the parking lot, like right there. And there was this like thing, this tall thing that just shot out from the van. And my buddy Dennis is like, a body's been ejected! A body's been ejected! And I'm like, oh, shit. You
are gonna see... A body's been ejected.
Yeah, and I'm like, you are going to see some shit, dude. Get ready.
Yeah, steel yourself, right.
And the van went into, like, this fence, and we were able to climb over the fence and get to the van. So we get to the van, like, immediately, the driver's side's empty, and there's this guy... And he's almost got like his hands in his pockets. Now, this is not a regular street. This is I-55. And he's just got his hands to his side like he's waiting for a bus. And there ain't no bus on I-55 and Weber Road. And he's just kind of looking around. And it's the driver of the car. He just somehow crawled out from the car. And the passenger is, like, in shock, still belted in, just like, like, out of it. Like, just not out of it, but in shock. And the guy's just looking around, and he is panicking. And he just points to the woman belted in the passenger seat and goes, she was driving. So right away, we suspected there was some drinking. So he points at her, he's like, she was driving. And then he kind of realizes that sounds stupid. And then he turns and he starts just walking northbound down 55.
Oh, man.
And my buddy Eric's like, whoa, 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 buddy, buddy, just sit down. You've been in a bad car wreck. Calm down. Everything will be fine. And he just, like, keeps walking. And we're like, dude, you got to sit down. You got to sit down. Because he's just going to get out of there. Clearly.
We got a runner.
Yep. Because once we started talking, it was clear he'd been drunk. Now, here he'd been drinking, and he was drunk. Now, the body that had been ejected wound up being the bumper that just sheared off of the car and went flying through the air.
Hey, man, that's really brave of you. You kept on running even though you thought that you were going to see an ejected body.
Oh, yeah, no, and it was, I was thinking to myself, like, and I've been in that position before where it's like, dude, you better be ready because you might see something that's going to make you a man. And, you know, eventually, though, emergency services and all that shit, the ambulance cops, they showed up. Everyone was pretty cool. We kind of, you know, they pulled the guy to the side. They didn't cuff him and stuff him right away. And, you know, we were able to leave the scene. Kind of no big deal. The only other time that we ever,
Now, wait a second. Wait. Now, I have to take this opportunity.
And we didn't get subpoenaed or anything.
Because now you just.
Give information.
Yeah, now you've just. I have to drive this point home. Pardon the pun. I was not driving drunk. Because now you've just kind of compared me. I had two beers over 2 hours. One beer an hour is what your liver can handle.
Yep. No.
So
I'll drive on three.
Like, yeah. So I wouldn't go pick my daughter up drunk.
I get it.
Commit that. I have to memorialize that, as an attorney would say. I have to memorialize that here and now.
All right.
And draw the distinction. But it may have been on my breath. And I was like, I ain't sticking around to see what happens next. Meanwhile, like, you don't have to blow over the limit for them to be like, you are still impaired in my judgment.
Right.
Driving under the influence. So it's like, I wasn't going to fucking stick around for any of that nonsense.
Right, and I'm not saying you were drunk.
But here's the thing. You said that the cops were cool. Were they cool in both instances?
As I remember, I don't remember having any problems. In fact, I don't remember them even taking down my information. The only time they ever took down my information that I can remember, there was a third time, and
you a black cat. You must have a black cat up your ass.
We were driving down 87. I wasn't driving, but I was in the back of a hatchback. We were driving down 87th Street. Like in Willow, like on the, and we went west of LaGrange. So it's all forest out there.
Right.
And as we're driving down the road, the guy in the passenger side goes, hey, you want to slow down here and then put on your brights because you might see, there might be deer. And as soon as he said it, he goes, there might be deer. Or a dead body! Holy shit! Holy shit! He starts screaming. And it was our buddy from high school, Frank. Frank jams on the brakes. He's like, what? He's like, there's a... And we're with Andy. He's like, there's a body back there. There's a body back there. So we go driving back, and we roll, put it in reverse. We roll back. And then Frank pops the hatch. And I go up, and I put up the hatch, and I look out of the hatch down onto this body lying in a ditch. And it's a body.
Oh, my God. Like, straight up Stand By Me.
It's a body. And I'm like, it's a body. It's a body. So I close the hatch. Frank pulls away from the body, reverses back, drives back towards the body, and then goes up to the body.
Wow.
And then, like,
well,
and actually, he goes to get out of the car. And smart move. Andy goes, don't get out of the car. It could be a setup. Which we were young at the time. It's not a bad call. We were totally in an area where 6-7 dudes could have jumped us. Nobody would have seen it. Nobody would have heard us scream.
So they whiteboard this up that, okay, you're going to pretend to be a dead body laying in the bushes. And then when someone stops to help the dead body, we're all going to jump out and rob them.
Yeah, why not?
It's
not crazy.
So wait, was the body in like bushes or like just on the side of the road or what?
It was on like in the way. Have you ever seen a deer or a dog when it's been hit and it's maybe its head or its legs are on the bare little bit of the road and the rest of the body's strewn in the ditch?
Oh,
that's
my
the
God.
Way the body was. So,
oh my God.
Andy goes, "Don't get out of the car. It could be a setup." And so Frank doesn't know what to do, so he starts blaring on the horn, thinking maybe it'll wake him up. Body doesn't move. He starts hitting the brights. Maybe it'll flash or something. I don't know. Body still doesn't move.
Were there cell phones during this period of American history?
Pagers.
You guys could have all... Yeah, what do you do with a beeper in a situation like that? Nothing.
So
Steve Jobs has saved us. He's changed everything.
He has
God rest
changed
his soul.
Everything.
God rest his body.
So we're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So Andy's house is like 2-3 blocks away. We drive to his house. Now, this is at the time when Andy thought he wanted to be a policeman and not a fireman. He thought for years he wanted to be a policeman, not a fireman. So he wanted to be the one to make the call to the cops.
He could speak their language just like me.
Yeah,
westbound,
no, he totally
southbound.
Wanted to do... He totally wanted to do the, like, young black male, like, do that whole thing. So he called...
Was it a young black male?
It wasn't a young black male. So we call... He calls, and I don't give a shit about being Mr. Cop Guy. I'm fine with someone else can make the call. So Andy calls, and he goes... He's totally serious. He sounds like Tom Brokaw, being very serious now. He's an adult. He's like, yes... we were driving home westbound on 87th Street. We had just crossed over LaGrange Road. And as we were traveling westbound, we found the body of what appears to be a middle-aged colored man in the ditch. And I freak out. Like, this is the early 90s. I freak out, and I'm, like, hitting him in the arm. I'm like, don't call him a colored man. They're going to think we did it. Like, he's thinking to himself. He thinks to himself... he thinks colored man is the same as Caucasian. So he just thinks, no, you know, NBD, the middle-aged colored man laying in the ditch. I'm like,
oh
now
God.
That incriminates us, three suburban white kids. Well, two suburban white kids, three suburban kids, white kids total, are calling in the body of a colored man. So I'm like, wait. We are dead. So they go, okay. We're sending a squad car over there. Go back to the body.
Yeah, you have to go back there so we can check your car for damage.
Yep, so we drive over there.
Were you guys shitting?
We had to have been. Don't really remember, but we would have had to have been. So we're driving over there. But we didn't think at that point we were implicated yet. I wasn't that panicked. The colored thing did genuinely throw me off. Like, I really did tell Andy, like, dude, you can't say colored, man. They're going to think we did it. Like, for real. Well,
or don't say colored, period. End of sentence.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, I knew what he was trying to do. Like, he was thinking middle-aged Caucasian, middle-aged colored man, same thing. Not same thing. So we drive back there. Now, this was wintertime, so there was snow on the ground. So we drive back there, and there's already a squad car there. Another one pulls up. You know, all of a sudden, once one shows up, it's like bees to honey. They all start flocking in. And we pull up, and we stop about a half block away, and we start walking up. And one of them shouts out to me, were you guys that called the accident or called in the body? And we're like, yeah. And then we hear another cop, and he's got the mag light on the body. And he goes out to the other cop. Hey, we got tire tracks right up to the body and tire tracks leading away from the body.
oh my God.
And I turned to Frank and I'm like, oh fuck, dude, that's your tire tracks. That's your tire tracks. Right to the body, from the body. Andy called him a colored man. Oh fuck. Oh.
Yeah, those tracks are definitely going to match your vehicle.
I know. So I'm like, dude, we have to come clean. We have to say that these are our tire tracks. If they figure it out, it's going to look like we hit something. So, geez, someone kind of just almost jumped out there at me. Anyway, so...
Wow, that would have been great timing considering what we're talking about.
Yeah, no kidding. So we walk over there. I'm like, dude, we have to tell them. We have to tell them. So we walk up to the body. We're like, officers, that's our car. We drove up to the body. We didn't know if the body had an epileptic seizure. We were trying to flash lights, ring a horn, you know, like whatever. I think they thought we were so panicked. They were like, there's no way these guys would have done anything or whatever. We seemed to be okay. So then the one cop comes up, one of the cops comes up, and he starts grilling us about what do you know and this and that and the other. And the one guy's just investigating the tracks. And he goes, all right, we're going to go up to the body. Are you guys prepared? And then now I look back on it all. I'm like, why was this guy taking us to the body? So
yeah, what?
You know,
what?
Like, you got...
I mean,
like,
that is like Mayberry that you lived in, though, you know.
But here's the thing, though. For a good half century, Willow Springs was the second highest revenue-generating town for the mob. So it wasn't uncommon to have it wasn't uncommon for shit like that to go down. I mean, there were real gangsters.
That's right,
like real
Michael
mobsters.
Corbett.
Shit, yes, yeah.
Ruled bodies, that town with an iron fist.
Bodies absolutely got dumped in Willow Springs. So maybe that's why they were more informal. I mean, it wasn't that many far years removed from Corbett and all that shit. So we're walking up to the body, and I remember, I was thinking, like, dude, the body, they might, if they move the body, the head might roll off. Just don't freak out. Just be, and
the
there was,
head
I was giving my,
roll off.
Why didn't, I really did think, I was like, maybe the head's not attached. I don't know why I thought this, but I genuinely did think maybe the head isn't attached to the body. So
maybe Frank got a little too close.
Right. Yes.
And hit him.
Yes. So
Jesus.
We go up and, like, I guess they're right down in the guy's face, and then all of a sudden, I guess he makes this little groan. He was still alive. So
oh
they're
my God.
Asking him, now we're close enough where we can hear him.
Yeah.
And they're like, sir, how did you get here? You know, were you hit by a car? And you just
oh
hear
God.
Him, like, faintly just go, I was thrown. He was thrown from a car.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I think it maybe was, like, a gang thing or gangster thing. Like, he was getting roughed up in the back of the car. They tossed him and then just left him for dead. So...
Oh, my God. Did you overhear if the police used the term colored at any point?
No, if they did, they did not say it. They did not say it.
Unbelievable that that term is used ever within the last, you know, 40 years in America. And to hear that it was Andy who said it.
And here's the thing. Even when he said it, I would say it in front of the NAACP. I knew... He was thinking to himself, this is like, this will be like saying Caucasian. And he wasn't going to say
Negro. Until
they
change the name, until they change their name, you're right. If we slip every now and then, it's a honest mistake.
Yeah, no, I know God's honest truth. I know he was thinking to himself, colored, Caucasian, it's an official title. And we were young. It wasn't like we're like dudes in our 40s now. I don't even know if we were 20. You know what I mean? Like, we might have been teenagers. So,
oh, my God. Those cops knew he was alive, and they were fucking with you when they were like, all right, we're going to go up to the body now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that was probably old James probably always. That was right down the street from a bar, right? He probably always walked home, and he fell in the ditch.
No, it wasn't near a bar. I think this dude was tossed. So anyway, though, they let us... Another weird thing now that I look back on it. So they asked us a few more questions and let us go. That was like our excitement for the evening. And they, but then they gave him a number. If they, they got his information, they gave Andy a number to follow up with him. And then they gave Andy a number, like a police number, like the morgue or something, so he could call and follow up on the guy. So Andy called like a day or two later, and I guess they told him that the guy didn't make it.
The guy died?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, so you did see a body.
I did. I did.
Oh, man, that's a bummer of a story there.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, like, the different experience you had. And, I mean, the cops seem to be cool in all of my stories. And, like, just you think of, it didn't seem weird at the time. But now, like, I look back and the cops are like, hey, let's go see the body. And, all right, you guys can
go. You guys want to ride in our car? You want to turn on our sirens? Right, like, it's yeah, super
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. And then, you know, just to be like, hey, call this number and we'll tell you what happens with this colored man.
Well, look, that's how they should be, right? Like, I don't need a commendation, and I don't need to, like, you know, I don't have to get a free certificate so I can bring my kids to see a cop car at Village Hall some Saturday afternoon. Like, I don't need any special accommodations, but, like, from Jump Street, everybody was real fucking crabby about the situation. And it's like, hey, man, we're all in this together.
What time the was person, this?
Napes. The Ville of Napes. You know, so, like, there's not heavy-duty, like, you know, gunshot victims and stuff there. Like, T-bone accidents are about as hot.
Stuff, though, right?
Yeah, every now and then. Every now and then. I want to say Andy had once claimed that he, on a firefighter call, went out to a place, and wasn't there somebody with, like, dynamite up their butt or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought there was, like, some weird, really weird fucking call in that town involving explosives and an anus, but right. I could be wrong. But maybe I just fetishized it and fantasized it into, like, something that it wasn't.
Yeah, you're going to use that later.
Yeah, so, I mean, but really, in the grand scheme of things, this is Stepford. So for everybody on down, from the dispatcher to the responder that I talked to kind of be, like, kind of shitty, you know, obviously the victim, I understand, is it going to be like, thank you, sir, thank you. You know, I don't expect that, but it'd be nice. I have a feeling I would be over-grateful.
Yeah.
Even if I had, like, a, you know, like a Zach Miller dangling leg, I could see being like, thank you so much, thank you, so sorry to put you out. Were you going to get your daughter at Gregory? I'm so sorry that I delayed you. Go ahead, yeah. I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't need a commendation. I don't need the mayor to, but I also don't need at 11 o'clock at night for the cop to call me back and be like, I got to go over your story.
Ooh,
again.
So,
something's not adding up here. And I'm like, really? You don't say. Because I gave you some pretty juicy details last time around. Let's take it from the top. And he starts recounting it. I'm like, yeah, right off the bat, I was going westbound. They were going eastbound. You know, so I'm like, this time I need you to, like, take notes, dude.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, I can't believe, like, now I feel a lot better. Because your story should have sworn you off. The body story should have sworn you off from helping ever again.
No, but it just started me. That's what started
yeah,
it.
That was the beginning of your helpful career.
Yes.
So, if you can, now I've got new vigor, frankly. If you can get involved after feeling for a minute there, like you were going to be implicated in a what turned out to be, that would have been a murder.
Right. There should be nothing stopping you.
Yeah. I mean, so the last thing that you ran toward was, or got involved in, was when you thought there was a body ejected.
Right.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. And so even that, like, running toward it when you thought you were going to see, like, maybe, you know, who knows, a headless body or something, like, to continue running toward it, that's big balls, dude.
Yeah, well,
big
hey,
ups to you.
If you can do it, if I can do it, Mike, you can do it.
Well, so
I believe in you.
So you've had those three experiences, and Would you still run towards something? Would you still get involved? Or as you get older, do you like, eh, if I see that someone else is on the scene, I'm good, I don't need to get involved? Like, do you have a desire to get involved?
I kind of think I would always get involved. I don't know. I don't see myself not getting involved. Yeah, I don't know. But then I don't have those things where it's like the wife and kids, like, I've got some place to be, or, oh, I can't fuck around with this. You know, I don't know.
I'm surprised the cop didn't ask me why I left.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're listening to the show.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, when I'll watch, like, the old lady is, like, loving life because she's like, yes, the witness who I'm basically, she's saying that I'm fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm not playing the elderly card, but it's like, okay, who are you going to take the opinion of? Me or the 75-year-old lady who T-boned the driver's side door?
Right.
At 45 miles an hour? Come on.
Jeez.
Come on, officer. But she's rubbing her hands together, her wrinkly old craggly hands, going, he's admitting that he had been drinking. I'm off.
He's been drinking. He's sexually depraved, thinking about men putting dynamite up their anuses.
Yeah, he didn't even have, Your Honor, the witness didn't even have a wallet on him at the time of the crash. You must throw his testimony out.
Right.
If I get subpoenaed, dude, I don't know. I guess you got to go. You have to answer a subpoena.
I'm
going to clam up. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a hostile witness. The defense is going to have to hold me as a hostile witness, or the plaintiff will. The state will.
It's a good time, dude. I've been subpoenaed. I was subpoenaed this year for an accident that I saw. So, good luck.
Really? You had to go to court because of an accident you saw?
I had to go to a law office.
Okay. And so how long did that take?
30 minutes.
All told, how much of your day was taken up with that?
It was, honestly, the law office was like 2 blocks from my office. So, 50 minutes. No more than an hour.
Even an hour, dude. I don't want to do that. I don't. Like, well, I don't want to be selfish, but it's like, no, I did what I had to do, and I'm considering not ever doing it again, but as it stands right now, since you've done it thrice, I did run up to somebody on fire once. Does that count? That counts as heroism. I'm just remembering this.
Yeah,
I was driving down the street,
sure.
And I saw a guy fucking, like, get immolated.
What?
And I fucking, like, barely put the car in park, didn't even say anything to my now wife, and, like, ran toward him and was, like, taking off my, I think I had, like, a sweatshirt, and was taking off my sweatshirt because I was going to put him out. And by the time I got to him, even though I was, like, fucking superhero fast.
Yeah, yeah.
He was out.
Well, how did he ignite?
I'm trying to remember how exactly it all happened, but
were you drunk?
A cigarette. I had been drinking Sapporo that night as well. I've always liked Japanese beer, Jones. What can I say? I don't know. It had to have involved a cigarette and aerosol.
Yeah.
But his, like, whole torso was, like, in flames for, like, a few seconds.
Oh, wow.
But, like, he was fine. So that's why I'm saying it had to be, like, aerosol or something.
Right. Oof.
Like, his body didn't provide the fuel. It was, you know, something else was burning around his body. And at the time, I was like, yeah, that was fucking cool. As I walked back to the car, I'm like, my old lady doesn't even know what just happened. I saw someone in distress, and I ran toward him.
You did the manly thing.
Yeah, now I'm like, yeah, next time I see an accident, I'm driving around that shit. Same as everyone else.
No,
I can't
shit.
Do it. But, I mean, now it's like, well, damn, dude. If nothing else, I'll definitely, like, do, like, a quick systems check. Like, oh, because, like, even, like, so I have a car now that I have, like, a key fob.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to it, right? So I put the car in park. And as I'm on with 911 and I'm starting to go toward what I think is going to be a gruesome, you know, scene of carnage. And I hear screaming and shit. My car, like, beckons me, like, beep, 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 like, to come back to it. because I was walking away with the fob in my park, pocket. Yeah. So I turned back around and I put my fob on top of my car so I could continue, you know, walking away from it. But it's funny,
which is
the shit
dumb
because
you
about.
That was really dumb because then the fob would still, the car's still running, right? You could have gotten your car and drove off and had the fob just slide off.
I know. So, like, certain
Holy
things I thought
shit.
Of, like treat the fucking, you know, the person who did the accident, who committed the crime, make her do the time, the extra time.
Right, right.
You know, like, I did the calculations, but from now on, I'm really going to do a systems check. Do I have my wallet? Have I been drinking? At all that week? Do I have an hour to spare for if I get subpoenaed?
Oh, it's minimum.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth it, man. I don't know if it's worth it.
I think you're out of the hero game. You're sounding soft.
I don't think I have what it takes, Jones. I'm going to be a selfish American, same as everyone else.
At least there's one of us still willing to dig in.